Okay, today we start on Daf Aleph, Omer Aleph. Okay, Brach, Sukkah, Beis Omer Aleph. Baruch Hashem, another new beginning. B'chol b'necha, yu b'necha, kachadoshim. Every day should feel like opening day. We should all come with the same chizuk and the same hislavus every day of every Masechta. Learn from today. Sukkah Shigavoa. So the Masechta starts off talking about in Yonim of Sukkah. The first two prakim of Masechta Sukkah is about Sukkah. The next parak gets into the mitzvah of lulav and the dalan minim. So the Bali Musar say over in the name of Rav Levi Yisrael Baraditchev that we find many times that whenever there's an issue of Bnei Yisrael's kavod and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Bnei Yisrael first and Bnei Yisrael put HaKadosh Baruch Hu first. For example, in the Torah, the name of the Passover holiday is called Chag HaMatzos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on the mitzvah that we do. But we call it Pesach. In the Torah, Erev Pesach is called Pesach. But we call Pesach Pesach, because Pesach spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our houses the night of Makas Bechoros. We focus on Hashem, Hashem focuses on us. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that what does it say in our tefillin? In our tefillin, we know it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does it say in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? Shomer Yisrael, Shomer Sheres Yisrael, Mika Amcha Yisrael Vayechad Ba'aretz. Again, focusing on us. The Klei Yakar in Parshas Matos says that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, revenge the Nikmas B'nei Yisrael B'Midyan. Fight Midyan and get B'nei Yisrael's revenge. And the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to get Nikmas Hashem. And the Klei Yakar there says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more worried about B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael is more worried about Hashem. So some of the Bali Musar say also here, Sukkah symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protecting us in the desert. We'll get to later on, Daf Yud Aleph, whether it's sukkah, physical sukkahs or the clouds that surrounded us. But either way, it's symbolized HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protecting us in the desert. While the Dalad Minim symbolize our doing the mitzvot. Symbolize after Yom Kippur, we go out holding our lulav and esrog. The Medrash says we feel confident that we got mechila. So it symbolizes our greatness. So in Torah Shebichsav, first you have the pasuk about the Dalad Minim. Etc. And the next pasuk says Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamim. In the end of Parshas Emor, first you have the Dalan Minim listed, which symbolizes Bnei Yisrael's greatness, and then you have Sukkah, which symbolizes the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, he's Mochel, he's in the background. But in Torah Shebalpeh, Chazal put the dinim of Sukkah first, and then the dinim of Dalan Minim. Switched it. Because we put a Kadosh Baruch Hu's covet first, that he protected us. That's why we learned Dini Sukkah and Yeshiva B'Sukkah first, and the Inyanim of Lulav and Esrog afterwards. The Aruch Lener says a little, doesn't quote the Rav Levi Yitzchak, a little different answer. He says, why do you switch the pasuk? He says, the reason is, Pashut, he says, what comes first? What comes first? The mitzvah of Asiyas Sukkah. The Rama emphasizes, amazingly, we'll talk about this on a later date, both the last halacha of Hilchos Yom Kippur and the first halacha of Hilchos Sukkos. The Ramah says you have to build your sukkah right after Yom Kippur. Why does that have to say both? Just say one or the other. You can't miss it. It's the same page. Right? It's a din in sukkahs, it's a din in Yom Kippur. But there's a connection. It has to be right away. So it says the Aruch Laner, because the mitzvah of building your sukkah comes the first thing. You don't have to buy your, there's no such kiyum to buy the lulav. You have to buy the lulav beforehand. But there's a kiyum to build the sukkah. The Yerushalmi even says you make a bracha when you build your sukkah. We don't paskin that way. We say only when you sit in the sukkah. The Yerushalmi says even when you build the sukkah. And also, what do you do first on sukkahs? First you sit in the sukkah the night before. You can't shake a lulav until the next day. So those are the reasons maybe why the halakhas of sukkah are put in the prakim before the halakhas of Abdallah Minim. Either way, this is what we focus on the next couple of weeks. Until lulav agazel, which is familiar to some, the halachos of building a sukkah, the structure of a sukkah, and sitting in the sukkah. That's what how the mesecta starts. So let's go. Sukkah shigavol l'malam yasser mama, a sukkah that is higher. The schach is higher than 20 amos from the floor of the sukkah. Right, that'd be from the ground, because let's say you have a sukkah on a porch. So it's 20 amos from the bottom of your sukkah, wherever it is. So a sukkah with a schach is higher than 20 amos. Pisula. That's a pasul sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Yehuda says it's a kosher sukkah. We'll see why Rabbi Yehuda allows it in the Gemara. Number two, v'she'ena gavoa asara tvachim, and a sukkah that is less than 10 tvachim high, that's also going to be pasul. So we already learned from the first Mishnah. What are your dimensions allowed in the sukkah? From 10 tvachim, which is about here, 10 tvachim, to 20 amos. That's the range of height of a sukkah. How wide? The sukkah can be as wide as you want. There's no limit on how wide the sukkah is, as long as you fulfill the rules about the walls in proximity to the schach. But in terms of the height, it goes from 10 tzvachim to 20 amos. V'she'ein la shalosh defanos. And what else is possible? A sukkah that's less than 10 tzvachim, a sukkah that does not have three walls. A sukkah needs at least three walls, which means really two and a little bit, which is acts like a third wall. V'shachamasa meruba meitzei lasa, and one that the sunlight is more than the shade in the sukkah. Pisula. All these three cases are possible: less than 10 tzvachim, less than three walls, and sunlight greater than shade. There is a talked about Rashi here. Two parts of the Rashi. The last Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, "Shechamasa meruba meitzei lasa." Look at the second half of the Rashi first. V'al shem haschach kruya sukkah. The reason sukkah is called a sukkah is because of the schach. The ikker part of the sukkah is the schach. We'll talk about this a lot in this mesechta. What defines a sukkah? So Rashi here says, Rashi sheet is clear, the schach. Al shem haschach kruya sukkah. Later on in the daf, Rashi is going to say, v'sukkah hainu schach kishma. Rashi says, again, if you want to look later on for a minute, then Rashi and Daf Yud Beis. Rashi Daf Yud Beis, I'll read it to you. Rashi in the Mishnah there says, "Dekol asukah hakasuv schach mashma, the dofen lo ikri sukkah." The walls are more of a hechi timsi. The walls hold up the sukkah. The walls aren't really part of the definition of the sukkah. The schach is the ikri part of the sukkah. The walls are there to help. But really, it's not that's part of the definition of the sukkah. Not all Rishonim will agree to this. There'll be halachic differences in terms of being nehene from the sukkah. You know, you're not to get hana from for your own pleasure, so maybe the walls are different than the schach. But at least from Rashi, it appears in these three places, twice on Beis Amin Aleph, once on Daf Yud Beis, that the definition of a sukkah is really the schach. Number one. Number two is the first half of the Rashi. Again, the Ran talks about this, and the Achronim talk about this. That sunlight more than shade, that's a pasul sukkah. What does Rashi say? Hamuit batel barov. The minority of shade, that's batel, that's nullified barov. Vahari kamisha eino, it's as if it's not there. It's as if it's all sun in your sukkah. Here's the Achronim. What did Rashi need to say that for? We know bittel, that's a yoredeya halacha. That's a, you know, you have a heter that falls into isser, isser falls into heter. What's Rashi talking about? Bittel barov when it comes to the schach, when it comes to the shade and the sunlight? What's Rashi talking about? So there's a lambda suggested by the Emek Bracha. He goes to Emek Bracha, Talmud of the Briska Rav, in the first siman in Hilchos Sukkah, where he says, maybe the point is that really, no, I don't want to go into it, there's a lot more to say today. I'll just say it quickly. He says, L'chor HaKasha, why do you need, even if you have some sunlight, as long as the sunlight is not majority, it should still be kosher. So says the Emek Bracha, he says, he quotes the Tosfos later on, that it must be not. It must be that even if sunlight is greater, it's still called a sukkah. And there's a special din that... Special din that the lafilu im akol aschach logorim lahavit zel al mashehu kvar mikri machmas es sukkah the ain schach el asochich umegim nachama, and the Rashi is telling you that only because of this halacha of bittul barov do we say that it's a problem here, but really meikar hadin sunlight is not a problem per se if it doesn't come from the sukkah, but it's a special din of if it's two steps, if the sunlight is minority, so then the halacha is kamisha eino, it's as if there's no shade in the sukkah, and therefore it would be puzzle. But again, the Achronim talk a lot about that Rashi. Feel free to look into it. Rashi feels the need to say the miut is kamisha eino. Okay, so we learned a few halachas in the Mishnah. The height of the sukkah is between 20 amos and 10 tefachim, and we learned another few psulim. It has to have at least three walls, and it has to have shade more than sunlight. So now the Gemara says, Tzan Hasam. We learned back in the first daf of Erevin. In first Mishnah in Erevin also has this idea of 20 amos being the rule for a certain halacha. Ma b'yishogavoa me'esr mama, or lamala me'esr mama. If you remember back then, the structures of the yards in the olden days, you had houses going into yards, and you had yards going into alleyways. Right? Chatseros going into a mabui. And the alleyway goes into the street. So let's picture in our head. We have an alleyway going into the street, and we have yards going into the alleyway. The alleyway is closed off on three sides. There's only one side that's open to the street. So mida oraisa, you're allowed to carry from your yard into that alleyway. It has three walls around it. Me'ikra, then you could carry into that mavui, into that alleyway. 100% fine. The Rabbanan said, though, you know what's going to happen? You're going to carry something from your house into the alleyway, and then you're not going to remember, you're not going to realize that there's a street over there, there's a real Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa. You're going to carry right into that street. So you know what? Midra Rabbanan, you have to be machshir your mavui. You have to do something in your mavui to be able to say, you know what, this mavui is closed off. Midra Rabbanan, there's a requirement. So the Mishnah there says, you have to either put a lechi, you have to either put a lechi or a korah. What's a lechi or a korah? A korah is a board across. So you remember, oh, there's a border there. Oh, yeah, that's the street. I can't go there. Or a vertical pole, which we use for our Eruvin around our neighborhoods. You put a vertical pole by the door. So one of those two that kashers your mavu in order that you're able to carry into the mavu. How low or high does that horizontal beam need to be? So the Mishnah says 20 amos. Same shear, 20 amos, your korah has to be across horizontally in order to be machshir your mavi. So it's not awesome. Now let's read it again. Mavi shukavah miasrim amah. You might, if you put it higher than 20 amos, you got to bring it down, says the Mishnah. You got to lower it. You got to lower that korah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarach No. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no need to lower it. It's okay. So the Mishnah, the Gemara here is not bothered by a stira in halacha, unusually, but it's bothered by a stira in language. It seems to be the same kind of halacha, 20 amos. But in one Mishnah, our Mishnah, it just tells you the facts. It says, puzzle. It's puzzle. It doesn't tell you what to do. It just says, puzzle. While over there, the first Mishnah in Erevin says, lower it. Why in one case does it say, puzzle, and one case does it say, lower it? Should be parallel. Not so long ago. Only a couple of mesechtas. So, Maishna gabi sukkah de tani psula, u Maishna gabi mavui de tani takanta. Why by sukkah does it say, puzzle? And why by mavui does it say, tell you how to fix it? Does it tell you the takana? That's the question. The Gemara gives two answers. The first answer we're going to focus on. First answer, sukkah de oraisa tani psula. Sukkah, which is de oraisa, it says pasul. Mavui de rabbanan tani takanta. But mavui, which is a institution, midrabbanan, as we just explained, it says takanta. And what does that line mean? Why does psula fit more to de oraisa and takanta fit more to de rabbanan? So Rashi has one pshat, Tosfos has two pshatim. Rashi says, the oraisa, you know what that means? That means this halacha has been around for a long time. We know it from the Torah. It's not like the Rabbanan are making something new up. So if it's been around for a long time, the Mishnah here is just saying that your sukkah is pasul like it's always been. Like this halacha, it fits into those rules that have been around for a long time. But if the Rabbanan are making this whole set of halachas up by Mavui, the first Mishnah in Erevin, so what do you mean you're going to say it's pasul? We don't know this. We don't know this halacha in the first place. So you have to tell us the details. You got to tell us what to do right when you mention the halacha. So the Rashi says mavui that it's older upon it because b'daraisa you don't need anything. So it's better to say takanta. It's not doesn't make sense to say pasul because you don't know any information before you have this mishnah. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. He feels that he likes another pshat. So first Tosfos says maybe it's a difference of mistakes. If you see a lashon that says you know fix it. So it might sound like, you know, you better fix it, but if you don't fix it, it's okay, not so bad. So by Darabanas, you could say, you know, try to fix it. By Darisas, we're not going to just say, okay, try to fix it. We're going to tell you a puzzle. So you make sure you know that it's not like this is a lachanchila. No, you better fix this or else you're not sitting in the sukkah. So that's the difference in Lashem between Darisas and Darabanas. Finally, the third shot, which we spoke about this idea, the first daf in Erevin. Inami, the third pshat Tosfos gives, yet according himself and Rashi, Yeshlomar, he says, maybe the Lashon itself, Yema'et, it's mashma d'Rabbanan, and psula is mashma d'Araisa. Tosfos does not explain. So why? What's the difference between Yema'et being a d'Rabbanan, psula being d'Araisa? So the Achronim, I heard this from Rav Shechter originally, that maybe it's based on the Yisrael? Yisrael, excellent, the Nesivis. What did the Nesivis say? The Nesivis explained the Rambam. There's a Rambam quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If I sell you a piece of meat, and it happens to be treif, and you ate it. So do you get your money back? You realize it's treif after you ate it. Do you get your money back? You know, I ate a piece of treif. How could you do this to me? So the Rambam says it depends if it was treif mi d'oraisa or treif mi d'rabbanan. If I sold you a piece of meat that was treif, and it was treif mi d'oraisa, you could come to me and say, I don't know what you did, I want my money back. Mekach tos. But if it was only treif, it was not kosher mi d'rabbanan, it was psar of b'chalav, it was a chicken cheeseburger, right? It wasn't a meat cheeseburger, then I you can't get your money back. I'm sorry, I know I did. You ate treif, mi d'rabbanan, you can't get your money back. What's the chilek? The Rambam does not explain, the Shulchan Aruch does not explain, the Reish Lama Dalin. So what's the chilek? Says the Nesivis, he has this kasha. Nesivis, Rabbi Yaakov Elisa asks, L'chor ein amuvan, kiva sha mekach batal, hari kamazik al ka'ochal shalom b'mekach. I tricked you. What's the difference if it was asa b'daraisa or asa b'darabanan? So here the Nesivis develops the idea. When it comes to Isurei d'oraisa, the problem is the chefsa. The chefsa is what's usur. These molecules, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, are problematic. So this chefsa is a problem. So if you eat it, you ate something that was usur. It's a problem. It's treif. So that's why the whole mekach is batal. Because Isurei d'oraisa focus on the chefsa, on the object. But the Rabbanon do not have the power to create something new. If this is Mutar Midaraisa, the Rabbanon can't say, oh, magic, it's also Midaraisa. They can tell you what to do. They can tell me, oh, I can't eat it. But they can't change the Chefza of the object. So Isurei Rabbanon are focused on Isurei Gavra. They can tell me what to do. And that's why, in this case, where you ate the treif without knowing, says the Nesivis, if you did an Isurei Rabbanon by accident, you don't need kapara. Because it's not that you did something wrong. It's only wrong if you don't listen to the Rabbanon. But here you did it by accident. If you eat treif midaraisa by accident, you still did something wrong. Because you ate the chefza, that was aser. Masha'enki, by the Isurei Rabbanon, is focused on the gavra. So then you shouldn't do it. But if you did it by accident, then you don't need kapara, says the Nesivis. That's what the Nesivis says in... To explain that Rambam, and that's the this is also used just quickly, and then we'll get back to the Gemara by the Meshech Chachma to explain a big kasha that the Rambam has to deal with himself. Where the Rambam holds is a sheet of the Rambam that says Safik de Oraisa l'chumra is a din de Rabbanan. Let's say you're not sure about a din daraisa. You're not sure if something's usher or not. So generally, the rule is if you have a doubt and it's daraisa, you have to be machmir. Safik de Oraisa l'chumra is a din de Rabbanan. So I'm sorry. Let me backtrack for a second. So the pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim that lo sasur, you're not allowed to turn from the words of the rabbis. So the Rambam holds, I forgot one shot of the Rambam, that every time you violate a Durabanan, you also violate a Daraisa. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Every time you violate a Durabanan, you also violate a Daraisa, listen to the rabbis. So asks the Ramban on the Rambam about another sheet of his. So how do you ever how could you ever have a rule of Savi Daraisa Lachumra, Savi Durabanan Lakula? You know, that everything is a daraisa. You don't have categories of Darabana and daraisa according to the Rambam. Everything is the same. So, says the Meshech Chachma, based on this idea that we just said, no, by a case of Safek, you're not doing the Darabana. It's not like it's Safek Darabana. Once you have a case of Safek, then the Darabana is not Usur anymore. That's what the Rambam says. Part of the definition of an Isur Darabana is Mazid. Because the whole thing is a Maisa Merit. The whole thing is going, it's not like there's something wrong with this inherently. The Darabana told you not to do this. But once it's a case of Safek, so then, it's not Usur anymore. The whole Isur falls away. So even the Rambam could agree that even though he says, Lo Sasur, every Darabanan is a Daraisa, still you could say that Savi Darabanan could be Lakula. Sorry, it didn't relate to the other sheet of the Rambam. But what does all this have to do with us? What does all this have to do with us? So you put this into Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? The language of Psula is more appropriate for Daraisa. And Yama'it for Drabana. That's exactly our point. Psula means the object is problematic. Yama'it is you should lower it. Focused on the Gavra, that's more appropriate for a Drabana. That's Yama'it. Psula is more focused, more appropriate for a Doraisa. Okay, that is all three pshatim we had in the first day, first answer of the Gemara. Okay, three pshatim, and we just gave a little biur for Tosis's answer about Doraisa versus Drabana. V'bayisema continues the Gemara. Second answer, why is there a difference? Again, what's the kasha? Why here does it say psula, and over there in Erev and it says yama'it? Bidza oraisa nami tani takanta. Really, there shouldn't be a difference between darabanan and oraisas. Really, it should always tell you what to do. Mihu suka di nefishin mile pasik v'tani psula. Mabu idzal nefish mile tani takanta. By sukkah, there are so many, there are a bunch of halachas that the Mishnah wanted to tell you. He wanted to tell you about the shade and the sun, about the three walls, that... What, so you're going to tell me how to fix one of the problems? You'll have to tell me how to fix all the problems. You have to lower this, and you have to add on another wall, you have to put more shade there. And the Mishnah doesn't want to tell you everything. So it says shorthand, it's just a tool. It doesn't tell you how to fix any of the problems. By Mavui, all it's telling you is about the Korah. It's not telling you any other problem. So Rebbe wrote this in shorthand, so therefore it left out the ways to fix in our Mishnah. Okay, next point. Minohani Muli, ask the Gemara, how do we know this halacha, that the schach of the sukkah cannot be higher than 20 amos? How do we know that? So there are three different sources given in the Gemara, and then Amud Beis today talks about those three sources. So, number one, Minohani Muli, so you can underline them if you have that tendency. Rabba, Rava, and Reb Zeira. Amar Rabba, number one, the Amar Kral, because the Pasuk says, L'man yedid oraseichem, kiva suko soshati b'nei Yisrael. You shall know, the pasuk at the end of Emor, why do you sit in a sukkah? So that you know for generations that Hashem put you in sukkahs in the Midbar. Ad esrim amma adam yodea shudar basukkah. As long as you're schacha within 20 amos of your vision, or where you are, you know, you'll remember you're in the sukkah. You look up, oh, the schach, oh yeah, 20 amos, a lot, 40 feet, that's pretty high. But lamal mi esrim amma, ein adam yodea shudar basukkah, mishun dolo sholta ba'ina. But once it's above 20 amos, you know, you forget. It's so high, you don't remember you're in the sukkah anymore. So that's why, the reason is, sholta ba'ina. Eina. 20 amas. Yeah.
This pasuk is talking about the past.
It's talking about generation. The Gemara is going to talk about that. That's why your question of it seems to be talking about general generations. That's going to be the kasha, while the other amorim don't hold like this amora. But that's one. So you remember, you're in the sukkah, 20 amos. The Torah Tamima uses this idea beautifully to explain a question that we've all had in the story of Yosef and his brothers. Right? They throw him into the pit, and what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So ask the Torah Tamima, he says, the Olam Makshin, everybody asks, what the brothers say? We don't want to kill him, you know, we don't want blood on our hands, let's just throw him in the pit. What, snakes and scorpions aren't going to kill him? So what's the Toelas? They're going to throw him in the pit? So in Mazvi, says the Torah Tamima, they didn't see the snakes and scorpions. It must have been a very deep pit. Must have been a very deep pit. So how do you know? What's the Raya that they didn't know? So say he says this. The pasuk says, "Vayashlichu oso habora." They threw him into the pit. And the Gemara in Maseches Tamid says, "Ein hashlacha pachos me esr amos." Hashlacha, that verb means 20 amos. Uses a pasuk, you throw the deshen off the mizbeach, it has to be at least 20 amos. So hashlacha is 20 amos. So says the Torah Tamima, "Vayashlichu oso." They threw him in the pit. What does hashlacha says from the Gemara in Tamid? 20 amos. What does our Gemara say? 20 amos, you don't realize it. You don't see anything above 20 amos. Right? That's, you don't remember that you're sitting in the sukkah anymore. It's above 20 amos. That's how, say, it says the Torah to me, but that's how Chazal knew to darshan this. That there weren't a chashim akrabim in there, but they didn't know about it. Why? Because it says that verb, Vayeshlichu aso abora, in Parshas Vayeshev. So that's 20 amos from our Gemara. Well, Shalta Ba'ena, the brothers, that's how the brothers didn't realize there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. Something else to say about Laman Yedu, but we'll hold off on that. Reb Zeira Amar Mehacha. Reb Zeira has a second source. The sukkah tiel esel yom mecharev. The sukkah will be for shade mecharev. Ad Esther pasukin shayo. Ad Esther mama adam yoshiv itzel sukkah. Up to 20 amos, when you're sitting in the sukkah, we could assume the shade is coming from the schach. It's up to 20 amos. But lamalam yesrim ama ein adam yoshiv b'sel sukkah el b'sel tfanas. Once the walls are higher than 20 amos, then your shade's coming from the walls. It's not coming from the schach anymore, it's coming from the walls. So therefore, that's a problem, because the shade has to come from the schach. As Rashi said before, that's the ikker definition of sukkah, and therefore that's why it can't be so high. The Ritva asks, and the Ritva on sukkah is very important in general, the Ritva asks, one second, L'chor, we're talking about noon, right? We're talking about when the sun's in the sky. So shouldn't it be, no matter how high the walls are, the sun's going to shine right down, right, onto your schach? Doesn't matter how tall the walls are. So, says the Ritva, you got to know, right? You got to know astrology. You got to know astrology. Says the Ritva, it's not true. It says, maybe in Tammuz it's true. But in Tishrei, the sun is never exactly above you. It's a little more to the side on the horizon. Anybody not a bucky in this area? But it's not exactly above you. So maybe somebody out there is a bucky. I'll email Mayor Maltz, that or whatever it is. But anyways, it says the Ritva, that Tirtza B'Tosvos, we're not talking about Tishrei. B'yomi Tishrei, afilu b'chatzi hayom, no delet stodin. V'ruin l'tvonos l'atzel gam kein. It says the Ritva is not true. It's never right above you in the month of Tishrei. So that's why it's not true. But then the Ritva says it doesn't matter. What? So if it's above you for a second during the day, that should make a difference? The Ritva says it doesn't matter. Even if it is above you at 12 o'clock, the whole rest of the day is not above you. And the shade is coming from the tzel of the tfonos. So either way, he says, even if it's true that it's right above you, says the Ritva, it doesn't matter. Yeah, do.
Not a bucky or anything, but it really depends which part of the earth you are.
Depends which part of the earth you're in, and that's where the sun will be directly. Okay. Okay. With the chazer, you know, we have the chazer that Gemara in Erevin, where we spoke about the sun's horizons and the axes. I know if we chazer it, I don't even think we'll, hopefully we'll have to chazer it anyway. But okay. Okay, that's the second answer. Ask the Gemara though. Amar Le'Abayis. What does Reb Zeira say? Answer number two is that if your sukkah is too high, then the shade is going to be coming from the walls instead of coming from the schach. So Amalei Abaye, one second, I have a question. What happens if you make your sukkah in between two huge mountains? So there too, your shade is not coming from your schach. Right? You have these two humongous mountains, so there too. So what, you're going to tell me you can't build a sukkah in Ashros Karnayim, a place with big cliffs surrounding your sukkah? So you're going to tell me that's also a problem? So Gemara said, no, that's a big difference. Over there, remove the mountains, hypothetically, and then you'll have the shade from the schach. But here you won't get it. In other words, what does that mean? The Ritva here explains, over there, the sukkah is a good sukkah. Really, the shade should come from the schach. You happen to have an external problem. You have these mountains here. But that doesn't ruin the sukkah. Right? You have this external problem, but the sukkah b'mahus is kosher. Masha'ekein, if you have a sukkah, which inherently your schach do not want. Well, if you take away the walls, you won't have a sukkah. You can't take away the walls. If you take away the mat ones, you still have a sukkah. But if you take away the walls, you won't have a sukkah. The schach will be hanging in midair. So that's why here there's more of an inherent problem in the structure of the sukkah. So don't compare to me where you have a sukkah that's above 20 amos versus a sukkah that's lower between two mountains. Oh, so it seems like the walls are just secondary. Because it says, well, it says, I don't know, Dal Tfanos like a sukkah.
Right.
If so, but you can't take away the Tfanos. Maybe that's what it's saying. Okay, it's not calling it a sukkah. From the language, I'll agree with you. But from the lumbus, I don't know. Because it says, that's the whole point. You can remove the mountain, but you can't remove the walls. So it's I don't know. It depends what you emphasize.
Yeah, but it's just impossible to have
a sukkah. Okay, enough, Yanabi. Ready, any obstacle that prevents shade. Exactly, huge buildings. That's Asheros Karnaim, right there. Okay, number three. Bro, next time you see the tall buildings, and you go to Manhattan today, you go to, not today, tomorrow, you get out of the subway, you look up, you say, oh, Asheros Karnaim. Right, you got to know that, right, you have to be the halachic man. Number three, Varava Amar Mehacha, third answer. Why is it that a sukkah cannot be more than 20 amos high? Basukah seisho shivas yamim. You have to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Umra Torah kol shivas yamim tsei mediras keva. V'shei mediras arai. The halach is, we're going to refer to this many times, Bez Hashem, in the Masechta. All 7 days, you have to leave your permanent residence and dwell in a temporary residence. A diras arai. Ad esrim ama adam osea diras adiras arai. Up to 20 amos, you can build a temporary dwelling. You can build a sukkah with shaky walls. You can build a sukkah that's defined as arai in halacha. L'malam yesrim ama ein adam osa diras adiras arai el adiras keva. If your sukkah is going to be higher than 20 amos, you're going to have to build a very sturdy structure, and that will be called a diras keva. And therefore, you know what I have, that a sukkah has to be a diras arai, not a diras keva. Asks the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. Again, Abaya is questioning. Alameata. What, you tell me you have to have a diras arai? What's so if you build a metal structure that'll stand through the greatest winds, it's not a good sukkah because you have to have a diras arai? Right? So what do you mean you have to have a diras arai? So it says Abaya, what, you're not allowed to build a metal sukkah? No. Explains Rava, no, this is what I meant. Adchaf amad adam oseti raso diras arai. Up until 20 amos, where it's possible to build your sukkah in a temporary fashion. Ki avalei diras keva, nami nothing. So then, even if you build a diras keva, it's still okay. L'malam echaf amos adam osa diras keva. But above 20 amos, where the normal behavior of people is to build it in a keva way, so it's as if there is no potential to build it in a diras arai way. So ki avalei diras arai, if you happen to be built in a diras arai, nami lo nothing, you're not going to be yotze. It's going to, your behavior is going to be batel das b'nei adam, and therefore it's not going to be allowed. The Ritva here quotes the principle that of kolaroy labila bila makev bila in bila makeves kolshenoy labila bila makeves. In other words, sometimes halacha just requires potential, even though you don't require something to actually happen. For example, we paskin that for hilkas chatzitza, a woman goes to the mikvah, she's not allowed to have any chatzitzas in her mouth. For example, she doesn't have to keep her mouth open in the mikvah. But still, if she has certain problems inside her mouth or inside any makomos amachusim, so anything like that, based on starim, but anywhere water has to be able to get in, even though water doesn't have to get in. That's what we pass in call a royal abila, a term from Hilchos Menachos that hopefully we'll get to one day. But that is the principle that is set here. As long as your sukkah has the potential to be built in a temporary fashion, then you're allowed to build it in a kavua fashion. But if it doesn't really have the potential to build in a temporary fashion, it's above 20 amos, then that's a problem. Okay, so to summarize, we have three different opinions here on Amud Aleph. What is the source that your sukkah cannot be above 20 amos? Is it because the manina de resechan, after you realize you're sitting in a sukkah, and above 20 amos, l'shalta ba'ina? Number two, is it because above 20 amos, the shade's coming from the walls? Number three, is it because you have to have a temporary structure? Okay, so hopefully we'll talk about that at the end a little more, if we have time. Turning over, kulu karabalo amri. So now the Gemara is going to say, why did each of the opinions reject the other two? So kulu karabalo amri, the second and third opinion didn't say like Rabbah, that it has to do with Shalta Ba'ena, based on the pasuk of Laban Yedid Oroseichem, because of Menachem's problem. Hahu Yedil Adorosi. Read the Laban Yedid Oroseichem Ki Vasukos HaShafi. That sounds like just a general pasuk. So that generations know that Hashem put you in a sukkah. It doesn't have to do with anything. My sitting in the sukkah, I have to know I'm sitting in the sukkah? It sounds like more of a general pasuk. L'man yedid o'raseichem, it's yedil o'doros. It's not teaching you a halacha. So they didn't like Rabba's interpretation of that pasuk. Reb Zeira nami lo ami, they didn't like Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira was number two. They didn't like his using the pasuk from Yeshayahu about the shade. Why? Hahuli mazam Mashiach udechziv. They think that pasuk is just talking about the future. That's not telling you again. Not telling you a halacha about a sukkah. For Reb Zeira, by the way, says back, imkein leimakrav v'chofet tielasel yomam. It could have just said in the pasuk a covering should give you shade during the day. Why daka the word sukkah? Why a covering? So umay v'sukkah tielasel yomam. Shamina tarti. It must be referring to the mitzvah of sukkah. Why does it use that unusual word sukkah? Just say chofet, covering. Because it used the word sukkah, it must be referring to both. Both yomos ha-mashiach and to tell you a halacha of sukkah. And the first two opinions didn't like Rava, the third opinion, because of Abaya's kasha about, you know, what about Mechitza Shel Barzel? Even though he answered that, but because of that problem, they didn't like it. So that's why each opinion didn't like the previous opinions. Okay, so now we have three statements of later Amoraim about the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and Hachamim the Mishnah. Remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda allowed. Just tell you one heart before we continue. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, he allows a sukkah that is 20 amos. Right? He allows it. It's above 20 amos. So you're gonna have to work out what he rejects according to each of the opinions. Right? The third opinion says diras arai. So we're gonna learn. Rabbi Yehuda holds you need a diras keva. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you might have to build it above 20 amos. But according to that, there's a day in the Meiri that says that. But you have to work out. Rabbi Yehuda rejects all of these. All three of these, or at least one of these. So now the Gemara is going to talk about that. We have this machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to sit in the sukkah above 20 amos or not. We're going to have a limitation, three limitations, to that machlokas. And we're going to try to figure out each limitation. Does it work well with number one, number two, or number three from Amar Aleph? Which explanation of the Chachamim Shita works best with what we're saying? That's what the Gemara is about to do. So says the Gemara, come on, Azlan. It's going to be clear. Had Amar Rabbi Yoshi Amarav. Rabbi Yoshi Amarav says, Machlokas b'she'ein zafanas magiyas l'schach. The only machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is when you have walls that don't reach all the way up to the schach. You're allowed to have a certain amount of space between the walls and the schach. So if the walls don't reach up, that's where they have a machlokas. Avav tfanas amagiyos l'schach. But if the walls reach all the way up to the schach, afilu l'mala me'esrim amak shera. Then everybody would agree, even the chachamim would agree, that it's kosher if the walls reach all the way up. So why would they agree? According to which explanation of their opinion does this fit in? That we change it if the walls go all the way up. So says the Gemara, come on, Karaba. Like number one, because what did Rabbah say the reason for the Chachamim is? If it's above 20 amos, you're not going to realize that there's a sukkah there. You're not going to realize you're sitting in a sukkah. So it says the Gemara, Damrim Shim Delosh Adam Be'ena, because usually it's because I won't be able to see the schach. The key of the Tvarnas Magios, the schach Mishla Shalta Be'ena. Says the Rabbi Yoshia here, no. But if my schach, my walls go all the way up to my schach, then I will realize. Why? Because my eyes will follow the wall. Oh, wow, how tall. And I'll follow the wall all the way up and I'll realize I'm sitting in a sukkah. That's why this chilik of whether the walls go all the way up to the schach makes sense according to Rabba. According to the other two opinions, there's no reason to be mechalik. Right? With the shade comes from the walls, no matter how tall they, even they're, if they're only 20 amas, they don't reach the schach. Or diras keva is even if it doesn't reach the wall, even if it reaches the walls. So the chilik that Rabbi Yoshia presents here, that there's no machlokas if the walls reach the schach, only makes sense, says the Gemara, according to Rabba. Number one. Number two. A second limitation. Come on, Azla Hada Amarav Huna Marav Machlokas She'ein Ba Ela Dalal Amos Adalal Amos. The Machlokas is only when you have a tiny sukkah. Or not so tiny, we're going to get to the even tinier one in a minute. But the Machlokas is only when you have a sukkah that's 4 by 4 Amos. Somewhere between 6 to 8 square feet. So when you have a small sukkah like that, that's when there's an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about above 20 Amos. But if you have a very wide sukkah, so again, a limitation. The Chachamim would agree that above 20 amos is kosher if you have a wide sukkah. So why should that be true? Does it make any difference about whether you realize you're sitting in a sukkah or not? Now that one doesn't make any sense. Why would she be mechalik? So come on, Reb Zeira. This one fits into Reb Zeira. Because what did Reb Zeira say? Reb Zeira said, because if it's very tall, your shade is going to be coming from the walls. Uh-huh. But if it's a very wide sukkah, then even if it is very tall, it's going to be coming from the schach. So that's why this limitation fits in according to Reb Zeira. Come on, Reb Zeira. Dor Mishum Selu. He said the problem is the shade issue. V'kiven deravicha ichatzel sukkah. And since it's very wide, the shade is still going to be coming from the schach, and therefore that's this Rav Huna Marav makes sense according to Reb Zeira. Number two. Number three, a third idea. Kamana as Hadam Rav Chana bar Rav Amar Rav Machlokes b'she'en machzekas v'kedei rosh v'ruva v'shalchana. No, the machlokes is only when you have a tiny sukkah. When you only have room in your sukkah for your head, most of your body, and a little table. That's a very tiny sukkah. 7x7 tefachim, let's say, this tiny sukkah you can make. But if it's a little bit bigger, then afilu l'mal me'asaram b'ksheira. So then, even above 20 amos, you know, the chamu are going to be, that's kosher. Come on, so who does this go like? To lo kachad, like nobody. Because according to all three opinions, there's no reason to say this. Right, according to what, if you have, so it's a tiny sukkah, seven tefachim versus a little bigger. Why should there be a difference? And even if it's a little bigger, still the shade's going to be coming from the walls, still you're not going to realize you're in the sukkah, still you're going to have to build a diras keva. So according to all three explanations of the chachamim, there's no reason that they should be mechalek between a tiny sukkah and a little larger than a tiny sukkah. So we say this brisa, this statement of, I'm sorry, Rav Chana bar Rav Amar Rav, we don't know why this should be true. What which explanation of the chachamim works out according to this statement? We don't know. The Gemara just leaves it the lo kachat. Period. So now we talk about these three limitations that we just have. So we understand that Rabbi Yoshia, which was the first limitation, does not say like the later two limitations to inhu kayavi shira b'mashcha v'yulo kayav shira b'mashcha. Because what do these last two limitations say? They talk about how big the sukkah is. They limit it. The Mishnah didn't mention any limitations. So why should the Rabbi Yoshia doesn't want to say any limit the machlokas between based on the size of the sukkah? No, the Gemara, the Mishnah is stama. There's no reason to limit it based on the mashcha, the length of the sukkah. So what limitation am I going to say? Just if the walls reach up or not. So that the Mishnah had left out. El Rav Huna, Rav Chana bar Rabba. So what about the last two opinions? They both argue, they both limit the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They both limit it based on the size of the sukkah. So what are they arguing about? One of them says Dalet Amos versus more than Dalet Amos. One of them says Rosh of Ruba v'Shulchan b'Sukkah. Let's call that seven tefachim versus above seven tefachim. So Lema name of Behashar Sukkah Kamiflaki. Shall we say that they're arguing about the minimum size that a sukkah is allowed to be? In other words, they both say that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is about the minimum size of a sukkah. The first opinion said that the minimum size of a sukkah is dalet amos, dalet al dalet. The second opinion said it's 7x7 tefachim, which is much smaller. Is that what the machlokas is, which we're going to talk about later on? The marsavar hechsher sukkah bar ba'amos, the marsavar hechsher sukkah machzekas, rosh of ruba v'shulchano. Is that what their machlokas is about? That they're both arguing. Again, they both say that the machlokas between the Yehuda and the Chachamim are only at the size of the minimum size of sukkah. But anything more than that, then the Chachamim agree. And they're arguing, but the machlokas between them is what's the minimum size of a sukkah? So is that the machlokas? The Gemara says, low. We'd rather not say that. To kule alma, hechsher sukkah, rosh of ruba v'shulchano. No, everybody agrees that you're allowed to have a tiny sukkah. 7x7 tefachim. It comes up. Some of these pop-up sukkahs are pretty small. You've got to know one of these traveling sukkahs. We'll talk about whether you really need that maker hadin if you're traveling. But Baruch Hashem, Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, we try to be machmor ourselves, to bring sukkahs wherever we go, to make sure there is a sukkah. But says the Gemara, we all agree that the tiny sukkah is okay. V'hacha v'hacha mefliki. And this is the machlokas. The marasav machzekas rosh ruba v'shulchano pligi. But the machlokas is, just like we said, that one says that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is only in the tiny sukkah. But more than that, more than just fitting your head, your body, and your table and sukkah is kosher. No, the machlokas is even by a sukkah larger than the minimum size. So again, the machlokas is not about fundamentally what's the minimum size of a sukkah. The machlokas is as you see it. You know, one says that this is the border, one says that's the border, but don't think that this is a reflection that they argue about what the minimum size of a sukkah is. Okay. Meisvei, another kasha. We're not going to get to the kasha today, because that goes on to Amid, to Daf Gimel, but at least we're going to get a story today, and tomorrow the Gemara is going to ask the kasha from the story. So let's get to the story. Meisvei. Sukkah shigavolam alam yasr ma'am apsula, Rabbi Yehuda machshir at arba'im v'chamishim amah. But so this is the machlokas. The Tanakhama says that a sukkah can be above 20 amos high. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it can even be 50 amos high. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no limit. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring you a raya. Maisa behilni hamalka. There was a story about Hilni Hamalka, Bilud. Shaisa sukkah gavol me'asram ama. Hilni Hamalka, Hilni the queen, was sitting in a sukkah that the height of it was above 20 amos. V'hayu zakenim nechnasim v'yotzim l'sham. And the elders visited her. Right, they went in and out of her sukkah. The law of Ladavra, they didn't tell her, they didn't say she was doing anything wrong. So Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, see, it's a rye to me. Right? Your sukkah could be higher than 20 amos. Because these great rabbis went to visit Hilni Amalka, and they didn't say anything. They didn't give her tochacha. So Amr lo, Misham Raya. So they say, what are you talking about? There's a rye. Isha Isa, Pturim in a sukkah. She's a woman. A woman is pure from sukkah. Right? This isn't one of the Afin Hayyub Oso Anases. Tosfos asks, Tosfos Mesachim says, why isn't this one of the Afin Hayyub Oso Anases? Why aren't women Mechayevs? Tosfos says that principle only works for Drabanas, not for Daraisas. But Lamaisa, woman is Pater. That's why, whenever you have a sukkah, you have some branches hanging up. Okay, you sit over there. Oh, yeah, you feel like second class citizens. Like, I'm going to sit on this after four. No, it's because they don't have to sit in the sukkah. So if it's a questionable place, that's where they sit. Right, so what's the raya? The rabbanan didn't tell her anything because she didn't have to. She could be sitting in the house. They wouldn't say anything.
And if a woman buys a lemon and says,
"Well, it depends. Maybe, hopefully, she wasn't making any bracha here. It doesn't say that. But here, at least, there's no raya. Maybe there's counter pressure. They don't want to embarrass her. This, that. So there might be reasons why. So if it was everything was equal, so maybe they would say, you know, something like if you have a faulty chetzah shal mitzvah. But here, maybe because of the counter pressure, they didn't want to say anything. So that's what they're about to say back. Don't bring me rice from Hilni. She's a female. Amar lahan. One second. She had seven sons that were sitting with her. So of course, when the sons had a sin in the sukkah. And also, all of her actions were according to the rabbis. So Gemara says, what does that last line mean? What does that last line mean? This is the hidden conversation that's taken place. What did Yehuda say back? She had seven sons. So maybe the Chachamim say back, and if you want to tell me, what do you mean her sons? Her sons were babies. Her sons were babies. So Gemara said, no. Because there were seven, there's got to be one that doesn't need the mother. Why? What do you mean? There's no space that has space their children in those days? No, because six, seven, or age six and seven already, do the math. You can't have less. You know, can't have them quicker. But age six and seven already, the child is a little more independent, called in halacha, eino tzorach le'imo. And a child that's eino tzorach le'imo is mechuyav in the mitzvah of sukkah. And the Gemara continues, v'chitemru, and if Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, and if you want to tell me, no, kadosh eino tzorach le'imo midrabanan hu d'machayiv, v'ibidrabanan lo mishkecha. What do you mean, the chiv of chinuch? That's only midrabanan. She doesn't worry about the rabbanans. So again, there's no raya, and that's why the rabbis didn't tell her anything, because she had her kids, they're only mechuyav midrabanan, and she doesn't worry about the rabbanans. So don't bring me a raya that you can sit in the sukkah about 20 amos. So that's the last line, tashma va'od, kol ma'aseh lo aseh l'pi chachamim. So we just gave pshat in the brisa. We didn't ask any kasha yet. But that's the pshat in this brisa. Tomorrow we start off with asking a kasha from this brisa. But first, two things on this last story. Number one, again, there's a well-known ritva. We mentioned this at the end of Yuma, when we spoke about children fasting on Yom Kippur. The ritva here says, what do you see from this, Gemara? You see that when a child does a mitzvah, he has to do it b'kol hechsher mihidurim. You're not allowed to fake out a child in a mitzvah. You're not allowed to buy the child a lemon and, you know, say it's an esrog. Right? What do you see from the Gemara? Because it seems like even fiktanim here, but you need a kosher sukkah. It says ritva. That's what you see from this Gemara. You see, where are we? Mehashaminon. The kadosh of a chachan of some mitzvahs, lasos lo mitzvah, behechsher gomer kagadol. Chadoklan apidako, behutzrachti lichtov zeh, lifisha ra'isi chachamim toim bazeh. I see many people making mistakes about this, so I have to let you know. And this comes up very halacha l'maisa. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this in Simin Taf Reish Nun Ches. Sif Vav says the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't give your child your lulav and esrog. Let's say you only have one for the family. So you want to give your kid a child a lulav and esrog to shake on the first day of Sukkot. The first day it has to be yours. You need lachem. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't give it to him on the first day before you use it. Why? Because you're going to give it to him. The halacha is a child could be kones something, but he can't be makna it. So you're going to give it to him. It's his. Now it's stuck. You can't get it back. So you can't use it. So says the Shulchan Aruch, so that you shouldn't give it to the child before you use it. In Schutz Laris, both days. Both first days. Right? But the first 2 days, it has to be lachem. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses, so how about, got a great idea, give it to him al menas that he's not his. Here, it's not yours. Give it to him al menas that it's not his. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? Look at this ritva. Right, if he's lacking lachem, are you allowed to do that? So the Mishnah Berurah happens to be Mako based on some other Rishonim. quotes, who's he quoting here, the Birke Yosef, that Shesover de Mitzvah Chinuch was Kayim Gam B'Shol. Maybe Chinuch, even a borrowed one, because he's getting Mitchuna from Mitzvahs, quoting a Mordechai from B'Shem the Ravan. But either way, this is the issue, that a child, we're not supposed to fake out Shul's room when we do Mitzvahs, and based on this Ritva is the source that's quoted, but it has to do with the Esrog on the first day of Sukkot. Also, the Yachronim talk about here, what about a mother's Chiv of Chinuch? Talking about Hilni Amalka here. There's a Gemara in Nazir that seems to say that a mother is not Mechuyevis in Chinuch, only the father. So you have to work out this Gemara, how this fits in. Is there some mitzvahs that are? We spoke about this also a little bit when we did that Gemara in Maseches Yuma. So again, that is also a discussion here. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, there's a lot more here. There's a lot on Laman Yedu. I owe you a verse from the Bach. And Beis Hashem, we will continue. Okay.